Lehman a few years back sent me a card. I think it was a birthday card. And it's so good I've kept it, and it's stuck up on my pin board in the office. It's got a very familiar red-skinned character with horns coming from his head, sitting in bed, reading a holy Bible. And the only musing that it has is, bit harsh, which always makes me smile, because when I read readings like this evening, that's my first thought generally, bit harsh, particularly that reading we had from Ecclesiasticus. It's from a deuterocanonical book, one of those books recommended for Anglican worship, but not with this quite the same authority as the canonical books of our scriptures. And I don't think I'm being unfair if I paraphrase tonight's thought in these words. You don't get long on earth compared to eternity, so God pities you. And God has compassion on you if you have compassion. Does that sound like a fair summary from what we heard this evening? That was kind of, it was a lot of words padding that out. But so on first read, it doesn't seem like the most uplifting of readings on first read. But like most scriptural texts, this is worth doing a little more reading about and around and reflecting on a little also. Not that I can do that much in these few minutes that we have here this evening. We may have a few in person as well as our online audience, but I'm not going to preach longer just because I have a captive audience, or at least a semi-captive audience. I don't want to go in too much detail, but I encourage you to look up both of the passages for tonight and do some looking around and thinking more on them. The book of Ecclesiasticus, which is also known as the book of Sirach, or the wisdom of Jesus ben Sirach, was probably compiled in the early second century before the Common Era, which we often call BC, and was originally written in Hebrew and translated into Greek. And like many of the books that we know as wisdom literature, it compiles proverbs and musings, which were probably in circulation at the time. And like most of the books of wisdom, as the name implies, it's trying to give some wisdom, some perspective, some guidance. And the idea of today's passage to me seems to be to put humanity in its place. And that's not a negative thing. From the opening line, it talks of the Creator, the one who lives forever, the one who is the source of all, and goes on to talk about the shortness of our span of life, offering opportunity to know our place in the universe, our place in the web of compassion, a dynamic, an active and engaged place, not ruling over creation, not even most important in a kind of hierarchy of creation, but as an integral part of God's creative work, with compassion for one another and by inference for all creation as the guiding principle. The writing itself is very Hebraic. It seems to me echoing the words that we find in the similarly named Ecclesiastes in the Hebrew Bible. Meaningless, meaningless, all is meaningless and a chasing after wind. Or in some translations, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. It may just seem like the authors are having a bad day, and maybe they were. But more importantly, I think they're trying to point us on beyond the text. The question, what is the point, actually begs an answer. The observation that we have such a short span of life, or that life seems without meaning, challenges us to find meaning and to make the most of the time that we have. To find the more to life that does give depth and breadth to our existence, as fleeting as it may be. So we're being challenged in this reading to get our perspective right, not to exalt ourselves, but nor to demean ourselves, recognizing our place in the order of the universe. And building on that, we have the anonymous author of the letter to the church in Jerusalem, the letter known as Hebrews. Talking angelology, as he starts, is something I'm not going to do, and I'll be honest, I have little interest in. But again, he uses that, they use that, as a launch point into discussing humanity's part in the divine order and the engagement in the reality of God in the reality of creation. He talks about the necessity of Jesus' death in order to engage and renew the old order of sin and death and bring new life. In this passage, we have something of an antidote to the existential angst we might have after reading the first one, I hope. We have a reminder of the value of humanity made clear in this theology of incarnation, about which I've spoken at length and I will do again, but not now, apart from to say the very idea of God engaging and loving creation so much that God becomes a part within it is a deeply affirming view of humanity and of all creation. The divine coming among us exactly as we are. It's saying how valuable not just our minds or our souls, whatever they may be, are, but all of us, the sticky out bits, the messy bits, the bits that need care, and even the bits that break down. In our imperfections, we are wholly and beautifully loved and affirmed by God. And so from both of these readings, we are encouraged to have perspective, to know ourselves loved, to know our place within creation, and to act from that place of being known and being loved and being grounded in this world in a way that lives and breathes and encourages compassion. Thanks be to God. Amen.